are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.
Good afternoon. I'm Michelle Gasso, and I will be your host for the next 15 minutes as we discuss the work of fugitive apprehension units in corrections. Joining me today is Donald N. Snyder, Jr., Director of the Illinois Department of Corrections. He was appointed Chief Administrator of the Department in 1999. He oversees 27 adult prisons, as well as 3 currently under design, 10 work camps, and several other facilities under the Department's jurisdiction. With more than 44,000 inmates, including 1,800 juveniles in youth centers, the Department operates on a budget of $1.3 billion. Prior to his appointment as director, Snyder was responsible for managing the Department of Corrections Fugitive Apprehension Unit. He is also the former sheriff of Pike County and a former police chief. Director Snyder, welcome to the program.
Michelle, thank you for having us today.
Well, we're happy to have you. We're going to talk today about fugitive apprehension. It's a topic you know quite a bit about, Director Snyder, so let's get started. Many in our audience may think that fugitive apprehension units only chase escapees, but that's not always the case. And I was hoping you could describe the work that fugitive apprehension units do in Illinois.
You know, in Illinois with the apprehension unit, that is really a small part that that unit does. Additionally, which takes much more of their time, is high-risk inmates, high-security risk inmates, gang leaders, as far as transporting those individuals to and from court, from our facilities. The apprehension unit assists and helps that transporting. Along with funeral furloughs, we have inmates that are with us for long periods of time, and they have family back in their communities, and sometimes their families pass away, and these individuals we allow to go and have a private visit at the funeral home. And one of the units that we use is our apprehension unit. They go and they take a look at where the funeral home is located and what part of the communities here in Illinois, and then they add the security at those funeral homes, because a lot of our individuals here in Illinois are connected with gangs and causes additional problems and issues. Along with inmates get sick, they need to go to the hospital. There may be medical services that we can't provide inside our facility, and so those inmates may need to go to the hospital, and when that medical attention is outside of facilities, the apprehension unit is called upon to assist there again for security reasons.
And also that sort of security specialization helps them do a lot of warrant service apprehension as well, is that right?
In Illinois, all the warrants that are issued, they go through the apprehension unit. The apprehension unit makes sure that those warrants are properly placed in the Leeds terminal, so that way other law enforcement agencies throughout, not just Illinois, but throughout the United States, can assist and help us find these individuals that have left the state of Illinois that were on parole status.
Right. Under your leadership as director, there's actually been quite a reduction in work camp walkaways, and I was hoping you could talk about your philosophy on this part of the unit's job and the successes that the unit's had.
Well, in the last 3 years, and of course, this is a director's nightmare, is that any time that you have an escape from our facilities, it gives you additional pressure upon you. But the good part about this is that we have an apprehension unit here in Illinois that helps us track these individuals down very quickly. Fortunate for myself as director, we haven't had any facility escapes, but we have had a couple of walkaways. We've had 2 individuals that have walked away from our non-secure work camp sites, and we've been able to get them back within a matter of minutes.
That's tremendous. Now, is the reason for this because they know they're going to get caught pretty quickly anyway, so why bother?
That's part of it, and our philosophy here in Illinois is zero tolerance of walkaways. When individuals leave their areas that they're assigned, even in these work camps, they're given additional charges. We will charge them with escape, and then we transport them to a high security level, to a maximum security facility. And when they go to a maximum security facility, they're not getting visiting as often, they're not getting phone calls as often. And when they do get a visit, it's in a it is in a secure area that is non-contact. And so the zero tolerance has helped us, along with the fact that they know they're going to be caught.
It's not, it comes to them that it's not worth it in the
Absolutely.
End.
Absolutely.
Now, in addition to the reduction in walkaways, there have been very few, if any, escapes from Illinois prisons in recent years. Was that always the case? And I was hoping you could talk about what it was like when you ran the Fugitive Apprehension Unit.
Well, there again, fortunately, here in Illinois, when I was actually over the apprehension unit during that time period, we never had any facility escapes. But the last escape that we had was in 1990. We had five individuals escape from a secure facility. And there again, in the 80s, we had some escapes from different facilities throughout Illinois. But since 1981, we've built 17, 18 new facilities. And of the new facilities, we haven't had an escape. All the escapes have occurred from our much older facilities and outdated facilities.
So there's been some new technology that's been put into these new designs, is that right?
Right, and what has helped over the years is that these newer facilities that we have built, the design structure is much, much better than the older facilities.
Can you talk a little bit about how that technology works to sort of keep those folks behind bars?
Well,
some of the different technologies that you've employed?
Well, the things that we have done is that we have had a identification system that has been placed in our facilities, so we actually know that this is inmate and they cannot do something to hide their identity. Now it's more difficult for them because when they move around the facility, in fact, we're getting ready to put in a mapping system in one of our facilities, which each inmate will have a computer chip bracelet that they will wear. And so we will monitor them even inside our facilities as they move around and throughout the facility. And so technology is much, much better today than what it was 10 years ago or 20 years ago.
That's really a great new thing for you. If you're just joining us now, we're talking with Director Donald Snyder of the Illinois Department of Corrections about fugitive apprehension. Director Snyder, let's continue. Can you tell us a little bit about the importance of building relationships with law enforcement agencies and hunting down fugitives? That must be another aspect of fugitive apprehension that's important.
You know, that's a very important issue for anybody in the criminal justice community to make sure that you network out into the communities to let individuals know that the state is there to help, and likewise, they can help us. And what the local law enforcement communities do for us is that they know their neighborhoods, they know their communities because they are there every day. And when we have an individual that takes off from parole or walks away from one of our facilities or someone actually escapes, it's important to make sure that we have a relationship in the law enforcement community because those individuals will eventually go back there.
And they need to know that, you need to know that they're going to go after those people that you tell them about, too.
Absolutely.
How do you build that kind of a relationship with law enforcement agencies?
What you do is that you with the in those communities, you share information with them, and you let those individuals know that you know the information that you have, you're willing to share it with them, and then that way it helps build trust with them. In fact, when I was a former sheriff, I know that one of the things that frustrated me and from the law enforcement community was that you would share information back to, with the state agency or with the federal agency, but you wouldn't hear anything back from them, and it was very frustrating. And so I think it's very important that if the state has information that can help a law enforcement community or help someone in the criminal justice, we should share that information with them. And by sharing that information helps build trust within that community.
Can you talk a little bit about how the Department of Corrections has shared some of that information with law enforcement?
Well, like for instance, we may have an individual that is on parole in a community, and there may be a certain type of crime that's going on within that community. And one of the things that we do here in Illinois is when an individual is paroled from our system, we notify the state's attorney and we notify the local sheriff's department that this person is going to be paroled back to your community within the next 15 to 30 days. And so then when they start having a certain type of crime 30, 60, 6 months from now, they will, one of the places they will look, say they know that this parolee is in their community. That parolee may revert back to a certain type of crime. And so by having that information that that individual is in their community, assists them and help them and speeds up their investigation.
Great. And they and the local law enforcement agency kind of realizes that the department is a friend and wants to share.
Absolutely. You know, we're all in this together. There's enough crime for everybody. And the big thing that we need to do is that we need to make sure that our communities are very safe.
Director Schneider, I was hoping you could tell us about one example of how this sort of close relationship with local law enforcement agencies has worked to help catch a fugitive.
Well, when I was over the apprehension unit back in 92, there was a very serious crime that was committed in west or east central Illinois. And in fact, what happened was that we had three parolees that were in a vehicle that stopped another car in the middle of an intersection, a very busy intersection, and got out of the car, and two of them started shooting into the car. And there were five individuals that were in the car that they were shooting at. Two of those individuals were killed, and three others were seriously wounded. In fact, one of the individuals that was seriously wounded was about 6.5 months pregnant.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
So she was on life support system for a while until the baby could develop and they felt comfortable taking the baby. And so by us having a good relationship with the local law enforcement, they knew this individual. This individual had been in prison once before, and he was well known in that community. So law enforcement had been watching him while he was out on parole, knew who his acquaintances were, who his associates, where he frequented. So with that information, that helps our apprehension unit to be able to go and look in those communities, look in those neighborhoods where, and talk to those associates to speed up and find out to get this type of individual as quickly as possible off the streets.
Yeah, get them off the streets quicker because of this relationship.
Yes.
That's great. One of the things I wanted to talk with you about in addition to the relationship is the kind of tools that a fugitive apprehension unit needs. Perhaps equipment or having you know manpower to back them up.
Right. You know, in the last in the last 10 years, technology, you know, throughout the country has just phenomenal. I mean, what you have today is pretty well outdated by tomorrow. But, you know, one of the things that we can do now that we couldn't do, you know, 10 years ago here in Illinois was monitor like cell phones. When we find out that a individual has a cell phone and a cell phone number, we're able to reach out and find that individual whenever he uses his cell phone. We're able then to pinpoint and monitor that. In fact, a national case that just come to light that a lot of the public would know about was the individual from Wisconsin that was going to school that was the mailbox bomber. And out in Nevada, they were able to find him because he used his cell phone, and they were able to track his whereabouts down, and within an hour and a half were able to get him off the streets before he hurt someone else.
And that's the kind of technology that the Fugitive Apprehension Unit can use too?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And, you know, the other thing that we have through modern technology is that on our website, we have a list of our 10 most wanted fugitives out there. So the public helps us by going to our website, looking and seeing who is there and who we're looking for. And that's a tool that we didn't have, you know, 4, 5, 10 years ago. That's available to us today.
That's right. And in addition to the technologies, having manpower to back a unit up is really important as well.
Right. You know, not only the technology part, but the equipment part and the manpower part. And me being in that unit at one time, that unit is somewhat special to me. And I think it's important that I get the resources so we can buy the tools that this unit needs to make the streets of Illinois much safer.
And by having those resources that they need, in a way, it helps kind of come full circle by reducing the number of escapes that you've had.
Absolutely.
That's a great strategy. Well, that concludes today's live interview, and I thank you, Director Donald Snyder of the Illinois Department of Corrections, for joining us today.
Thank you, Michelle, for having us today, and it's very exciting times here in Illinois Department of Corrections, and anytime we can talk about Illinois corrections, we take advantage of it. So thank you for allowing us to be there today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you again, and thank you also to our audience for tuning in. Please join us for our next live interview next month as we discuss the changing role of training in corrections. For the Corrections Connection News Network, this is Michelle Gasso.
You are listening to the Corrections Connection News Network, CCNN, your weekly news source for the corrections and criminal justice industry.